prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Live. I'm your resident herbalist. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, we're going to empower you. That's what we're going to do. And magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. That's right. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. For the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about this new antibiotic that's coming out soon. Hasn't really hit the market yet, but you need to be aware of it. Also, we're going to be trying to sneak in our depression topic that we haven't for the last couple of shows, and we'll see what else we have time for, plus our quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face. Hope you are too. And today's devotional is from 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Amen. And we've got Resurrection Sunday coming up. So I hope you all have a blessed, peaceful Resurrection Sunday and thank the Lord for all he's done for us, you know, because we owe him everything and he owes us nothing. And mine's time. It grows short because that is the way. Without further ado, let's do the quack report.
Pick.
Sorry, Frank, I'm here. I had my button pushed in. My fault. First up in the quacker is the CDC is saying U.S. birth rates are down, but the death rates are up. According to the report, they went over some of the statistics from 2016 to 17, and they noticed that between those years, 2 percentage points went down as far as death rates, the mortality rate. So in other words, a downward depopulating trend is what they're seeing in the last 3 years. So the CDC has also said that the death rates were up with heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's becoming all too common. Now, from 1973 to 2011, the decline of new life and the rise in death rates was 59.3%. Not good. No. Moving along in the Quack Report. Speaking of population and so forth, male infertility has doubled, according to experts. They say the male infertility in the last 50 years has doubled. Study in the National Health Service is showing that the most common cause in infertility in men is really poor quality of semen or lack of it. 50% of the cases of failed conception is attributed to semen quality. And so women run to all these fertility clinics and they need to get the guy checked as first before they jump in. Some contributing factors, they said, was an abnormally low level of testosterone and also medicines and drugs, including anabolic steroids, sulfur drugs, chemotherapy drugs, illegal medication drugs, and marijuana and cocaine can also be contributing, they think, to that problem. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report. If you want to have a better night's sleep, they're saying eat some honey before you go to bed. They said honey has this potency. It's a superfood of its own right, and it helps with sleep problems. It's a natural relaxant, they say. Science says that in ancient times, various cultures would use honey as both food and a medicine. And it's a popular treatment for things like insomnia, and it promotes a deeper sleep, a more restful sleep, according to the research. So take honey on a daily basis. It also boosts your vitality, they are saying. Helps the immune system, digestive tract, and respiratory systems, they say. So if you want to snooze a bit better, they say you have this fructose glucose working to sustain your blood sugar levels, and so you just sleep better. The brain is more relaxed, and so you can have that serotonin that leads to your melatonin hormone in your brain just by taking some honey, they're saying, instead of taking sleep aids. So give that a shot. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Could have swear I pushed that button a second time. So anyway, I got to watch the button pushing here because it cuts off my mic and then you can't hear me. I'm rattling off stuff and you can't hear me. All right. We're going to be talking about this new antibiotic, which, you know, when I read the report, I went, whoa, you know, really. There is really no doubt that there is a serious problem with bacteria and fungus infections, you know, because they're resistant to the current antibiotic drugs and antifungal drugs. You know, we've been reporting on that lately. Now, for years, drug companies really had shifted their research from making new antibiotics to making new antiviral drugs and new vaccines. So there's been some recent research now into the hunt for new substances the drug companies can use to make antibiotics from. Now, according to this report from the Florida International University that was published in the February 2019 journal Communications Biology and also the journal Nature, a new broad-spectrum antibiotic is in the works, and it's supposed to have a potential to kill drug-resistant bacterial infections. So we're going to take a look at this. This new marvel, keep in mind, the original antibiotics were called wonder drugs. And then we got the killer bacteria on steroids because we used them all too much. So we have to wonder what will the next generation of antibiotics will bring humanity and at what cost. So I'm going to give you a heads up, food for thought. Always research your medications that are recommended to you. So they've been looking in soil, and this is what they were digging around looking for stuff, because it's no secret, you know, science will often take substances that are found in soil to make an antibiotic from it. They've done that in the past. So turning over rocks, going into caves, dissecting organic matter to find the next new element to make a billion-dollar drug is really the specialty of the drug manufacturers. Now, international team of researchers from the Florida International University at Herbert Wertmann College of Medicine reported that they found this broad-spectrum natural antibiotic element. That word natural caught my eye, and I'm like, I do tell. So that may sound like a good thing, some good news, and maybe the answer to prayer for those suffering from an unstoppable bacterial infection. However, what is the natural element? Apparently, it is your, what, Frank? What are you saying? Oh, Frank. Frank is my garlic guy. He loves garlic. No, it's not garlic, sweetie. No. Oh, darn it, right? No. Apparently, the element is your standard arsenic found in soil. That's right. They're going to be making an antibiotic out of arsenic. Doesn't that sound wonderful, Frank? Kind of, don't cringe. All right, well, we're going to get to the bottom. The new antibiotic drug has been named arsenomycin, AST for short, and it will be marketed as a natural antibiotic when it does hit the shelves. According to the cellular biology and the pharmacology team, this new antibiotic will be effective against many types of bacteria, which is why it is considered a broad-spectrum antibiotic. So early testing, they say it has some potential to be used for a drug against E. coli infections. So arsenic, aren't you thrilled, Frank? Arsenic antibiotics. Well, let's just look at what's expected here. A little expectation. I mean, you know, I don't know. Are we going back in time with arsenic, you think? Frank, it is a toxin. It is a poison. And it is antibiotic against life. You are absolutely spot on. But let's talk about a little bit of history about arsenic and where their mindset is and where they're going with it. The medical and the scientific community is proclaiming that the new antibiotic will be safe for humans. Okay, so with the past history of antibiotic overuse, what may happen with a new arsenic-based drug? Here is a quote from Barry Rosen. He's with the Department of Cellular Biology and Pharmacology with the Florida International University. And he says, although arsenothrinicin, this is the arsenic drug, contains arsenic, we have tested it for toxicity on human blood cells and report that it does not kill human cells in tissue cultures. We have great hopes for it, end of quote. So the average person knows the word arsenic, and it's a toxin to the body. People just know this. So it would be kind of like an eyebrow moment to learn the antibiotic prescribed to you has a known toxin and a carcinogen in it. That's right. So why arsenic? You got to ask, why are they going with arsenic? Well, science uses arsenic, we're told, to combat microbes and supposedly to also treat cancer. Yeah, medicine has been using arsenic in some anti-cancer agents. Did you know that, Frank? Yeah, that's right. Right on. All right, so let's read another quote from Dr. Rosen. He says, people get scared when they hear the word arsenic because it can be a toxin and a carcinogen. Arsenic has an antimicrobial and anti-cancer agent, and it's well-established, end of quote. Uh-huh. Yeah, medicine's been using arsenic for leukemia treatments in which the average patient lives about 5 years after they're treated. Well, let's look at a little bit of arsenic history. All right. So according to Dr. Paul Urich, arsenic is used to treat syphilis and is added to chemotherapy drugs to treat leukemia. So in the Journal of the Military and Veterans Health, there was this article, and it was titled Arsenic, the Poison of Kings and the Savior of Syphilis, which stated that arsenic is a substance well known by both healer and poisoner. So the report goes on to state that arsenic is a potent neurological and liver toxin. Wow. So it's also known it will attack the lungs, the bladder, and skin. So history tells us that arsenic was often used to kill off kings and emperors or those leaving a rich inheritance. And Dr. Urich discovered using arsenic for syphilis in 1909, in which the syphilis was often called the Great Pox. So in the U.S. Army has also used arsenic in chemical warfare agents, such as in 1918, as a respiratory irritant. And arsenic is listed by the CDC as a bioterrorism agent. Yeah. I don't think the marketing literature for the new antibiotic should say new natural bioterrorism antibiotic, do you? kind of not going to go over well. Well, the term arsenic is really translated from the Greek arsenikon, which means masculine or potent. And Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, wrote about the toxic effects of arsenic in 370 BC. He noted that similar results were derived using mercury as a neurotoxin. Ooh, they knew about mercury as a neurotoxin way back before the birth of Jesus Christ, and here it is in vaccines today. All right, so Hippocrates noted that similar results were derived by the mercury, and he described the side effects of abdominal colic using some of the minor metal elements. So he often used arsenic in topical salves and ointments to treat abscesses and ulcers. Now, the Chinese wrote about using arsenic in a medicine book around 200 BC, in which they used arsenic poison to counteract another poison. So arsenic is this odorless, tasteless substance which made it virtually an undetectable poison throughout much of history, which is, you know, why they often also added it to wine. They said it improved the taste of wine, and they think this is how Napoleon got poisoned, because it was in some of his old wine bottles. Now, initial side effects of arsenic poison tend to mimic food poisoning, and then you get paralysis and then death. So arsenic poisoning became such a problem that by the 18th century, a post-mortem test was developed in 1836 by an English chemist by the name of James Marsh. In the 16th century, physicians and even barber surgeons often used arsenic to treat anthrax. Now, physicians often mixed their own remedies, and in 1786, a British doctor, Thomas Fowler, called his arsenic treatment liqueur minerals, which later was known as Fowler's solution, and it got listed in the London Pharmacopoeia. It was dispensed for various ailments, including malaria, fever, headaches, rashes, anemia, blood pressure, gastric ulcers, rheumatism, and even tuberculosis. It was also used to treat leukemia until the invention of chemotherapy and radiation. And in the early 1920s, science was combining arsenic with bismuth, which is a metal resembling arsenic, and also mercury for the treatment of syphilis. And that is, my folks, our alchemy science at its best. Alchemy can be traced all the way back to Babylon with the witch doctors and witchcraft. So you still have that. The medicine's roots are still there, if you know what I mean. They are. Well, what do you think, Frank? Do you think medicine is going to be able to control this arsenic natural antibiotic? Is it going to be under good control, or are we going to see some things go terribly wrong with this. What's your feeling? I think it's kind of roll the dice myself, because what medical science is doing is using a poison, but supposedly under controlled circumstances. Yeah, Frank thinks it's going to go terribly wrong. Well, okay, look at the wonder drug antibiotics from the 1920s, 30s, 40s. They already knew within, you know, a year or so, a few months, that it was mutating the pathogens. And they let it roll anyway, you know, because it's a moneymaker. It did save lives, I will say that. But with the overuse, where we neglected common sense, now we've got the superbugs and a big problem. So the arsenic antibiotic may not be on the market for several years, so you can take a sigh of relief for a minute. At least, you know science, you know where they're headed, though, with this. So the reactionary, here's the thing. The reactionary complications is something that worries me, not just that it's arsenic, and not just that it's an antibiotic, which will probably be dispensed like, you know, chewing gum. It's that it's a reactionary thing that needs to be tested, because so many people are on numerous drugs that are already taxing their liver. And when you add the arsenic-based element in an antibiotic, could that prove to be too much toxicity for the liver to sustain? Because it is a liver toxin. Arsenic, that's what it is. Now, another combination to consider is that of vaccines that contain mercury, another neurotoxin, and the effect of adding arsenic antibiotics, a neurotoxin. What might that do? So what might these combinations do, and, you know, the accumulative effect thereof? See, heavy metals, the body's not meant to have them, see. You know, they can go to the brain, they can then migrate to the bowel and cause all kinds of problems. So, but fortunately, for us, guess what? We have choices and protection from God. It's guaranteed. He promises that we are protected with his medicinal herbs. So herbs have these compact nutrients in them that science has really not been able to, you know, name and list them all. And they want to know how some of these herbs work to reverse illness, but they haven't been able to isolate those elements that do that so they can make a drug out of it. So we already have, though, the herbs that has the chemistry perfected by God. Why do we need to improve that? We don't. So we have the power right now to avoid many of the illnesses when we use our medicinal herbs. So should we prepare for pandemics? Yes, but how we prepare is going to be critical. And most over-the-counter drugs and prescription drugs, if you're stocking up, they only have a shelf life of about 2 years. And after the expiration, those drugs are more toxic than when they were originally made. So never take an expired anything. So herbal formulas, though, when you store them properly, they have a shelf life of 10 years. So I believe there really is no need to panic, but you want to be prepared. You want to have the right tools. So if you want to get prepared, call Apothecary Herbs. They have a pandemic kit, and they also have a full line of antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral immune support formulas. So Apothecary Herbs also offers these professional strength formulas that you're not going to find in stores. What is it, Frank? You have a question? Right. Herbs don't really have toxins in them. They're not toxic. They're not life-threatening that way. And if you do store them in a cool, dry place, they'll last a long time. Powders, if you're looking at herbal powders, they'll last about 5 years, because after a while they start to lose their natural oils and they become less potent. Doesn't mean they've gone bad. It's just they're less potent after 5 years. Your herbal tinctures, on the other hand, are going to have a shelf life of 10 years because they are aged in an alcohol catalyst. It's the perfect preservative, okay? So it locks in all the alkaloid strength, and it's just one of those perfect ways to capture God's chemistry. So thepowerherbs.com, give them a call, at 866-229-3663. That's Apothecary Herbs, and the web address is thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs, professional strength, okay? You get a free catalog. You can request one of those, and do take advantage. Their April sale is still on. It ends on the 21st, though, of April, so you want to take advantage and save 20%. Now through the 21st on orders of $50 or more. So don't let that go away without stocking up on, you know, things you need for yourself, your kids, your pets. They have some nice things up there. So give them a shout, and they'll get you all fixed up. All right. We are going to be talking about avoiding depression, because so many people, you know, are depressed, or they can't really – they're oversaturated with negative things being reported and things that, you know, are upsetting. And so depression is one of these feelings of, you know, feeling overwhelmed, stressed, feeling like, you know, you don't have any alternatives. You don't have any way to fix it. And you guys, especially, you always want to fix things, and you get really frustrated and antsy when you can't fix stuff. So we get it. But we live in a stressful times, basically. So we got to take some steps to protect ourselves physically and mentally, or we can wind up with, you know, full-blown clinical anxiety, panic attacks, or depression. So now the definition of mental depression is a condition marked by emotions of hopelessness, self-doubt, feeling lethargic, sorrowful, despondent, discouraged, and desperate. So we don't want to go there. No, no, no. Now, depression does affect all aspects of your health. It affects your sleep, your mood, of course, relationships, your work productivity, your problem solving, all these things in life. Oh, Frank, behave over there. Well, I mean, life has challenges. This is true. But you just don't want the challenge to be that last thing where you lose interest in overcoming them. See, that's where the problem is, and where you just don't care. You lose interest in overcoming. And a lot of these antidepressants elevate your serotonin levels so high in the brain. That's what happens. You just don't care. Don't care about anything. You're like emotionally detached, like, bam. Oh, I see by the clock we got to take a break. More on the other side. Be right back.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
Pumping life into the original medicine, herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, Herb Medicine Options, coming up next.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're talking about how we can avoid, you know, depression and, you know, react, have some coping mechanisms so that we can react better to challenges that come up in life. So there's a lot of medical tests out there, a lot of clinical trials on depression, and it's still not fully understood. So depression can't be kind of wished away or ignored or covered up with a bunch of drugs and alcohol, which is where people usually start. And people that suffer with depression have difficulty pulling themselves together or keeping themselves, you know, in a fit mental state. So they can actually fake it for a little while, but then everything crumbles, and it's known as having a breakdown. So modern medicine is reporting that people are becoming depressed earlier in life, and that we have more teenagers and young adults that are very suicidal. And we have about 18.8 million adult Americans, or 10% of our population, that are clinically depressed. And more women than men seem to be depressed. And the statistics on teenagers is even worse. 20% of them are severely depressed. 6.4% of adult males are depressed, and 12.4% of adult females are depressed. So this is not a good picture. And suicide being the third leading cause of death among teenagers, male teenagers especially, they're the ones that tend to carry it through compared to female teenagers. So what is the common denominator in the development of depression. Well, people with depression have experienced something traumatizing, or they perceive that no one cares. Those are kind of the two key things you see over and over in therapy. So, in general, the symptoms of classic depression is you have a loss of interest in some of the activities you used to enjoy, you gave you personal enjoyment. Examples would be you would become disinterested in eating your favorite foods at your favorite restaurant. You get disinterested in romantic closeness. You lack interest even in the appearance, how you look, or you have a loss of appetite, and you have a change in your eating habits, and then your weight changes. Either you lose weight or you're gaining it. Also, a lot of sleep disturbances like insomnia. Some people have oversleeping. It's on the other end of the pendulum. Obviously, difficulty concentrating and making decisions, having good memory, restlessness, a lot of irritability. So a depressed individual also has a depressed immune system and can have a lot of frequent colds and headaches, infections, digestive problems. So, you know, you just got the mental issue and then you got the physical issue on top. Also, a depressed individual usually does not respond well to change. If there's significant change, such as, you know, change at work or change in a relationship, change at home, maybe a divorce, very devastating to someone that's dealing with depression. If you see somebody that has depression and they have gone through an emotional event that stressed them, you may see an expression on their face that looks flat or blunted. That's serious. If they have this flat look, sort of like a deadpan look or a blank look, almost like they were in perpetual shock or stupor, that's bad. In public settings, a person suffering with this flat effect may exhibit a forced or a strained smile or grin when someone, you know, asks them if they're okay, or if they hear a joke, they may, you know, pretend to get it. They also they may know it's appropriate to show an emotion, but they don't feel that emotion. They're almost mannequin-like in their expression, but they tend to try to muster up a fake expression if they can. So a person with this flat effect on their expression, their face, needs a lot of help. And unfortunately, medicine, all they offer them is a lot of chemical prescriptions. I call it a chemical lobotomy, you know. A psychopathy, you see some, you know, bleed over on a lot of that too, you know. But let's just talk about the different types of depression. They vary in intensity. A less severe form of depression is where a person isn't really functioning 100%, but doesn't feel as good as they could. And this is called a dysthymia. Now, if you don't get a handle on this, you could experience more severe forms of depression called manic depression or bipolar disorder. So individuals with major depression have difficulty handling stress, handling pressure. And if you got a high stress job, high pressure job, and you're suffering from depression, this is going to take its toll, and you wind up usually taking medical leave, and you most likely won't return to that job. And if you have a family member or a friend that seems to have a cycle of highs called mania and lows, depression, this is known as manic depression or bipolar disorder. So the mood change can be very gradual, or it could be quite dramatic and swift and happen, you know, rapidly, which, you know, is off. It's people are get unsettled by it because it's dramatic and inappropriate. So one minute they could be upbeat and, you know, clicking their heels and leaping around like a leprechaun. The next minute they may want to be alone in a dark room. That's how swift it can shift. So when they're in a manic high phase, they can be very talkative, They may not be able to sleep. They have excessive energy. They have racing thoughts. They're maybe going to act very promiscuous. They may overreact to things. They may have this compulsive behavior disorder going. As the mania affects a lot of their judgment and often creates a lot of social problems and even embarrassment. Now, this manic phase of depression has similar characteristics, which can parallel things like narcissistic traits, where you have the arrogance and the fantasy grandeur type of behavior, mental mindset. You could have manic depression types often find themselves making very unwise business decisions or engaging in a lot of romantic sprees. And in recent years, the American Psychological Association determined that there are two types of bipolar disorder, bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. And they describe bipolar 1 as having a manic high and a depressive low, two moods that vacillate. And then bipolar 2, there is this fluctuation between hypomanic, which is less severe, a less severe form of mania, and then their depressive moods. So it's not as pronounced. Bipolar 2 is not as pronounced. So now psychosis can manifest in bipolar 1 during the most severe mood states and in the depressive state also in bipolar 2. So beware of that. Now, if these conditions are left unchecked, it can also lead to even worse conditions called psychotic states, like you just mentioned, a lot of the sociopathic, psychopath type of issues. Well, let's look at the psychopathic state a minute. In this mental state, the individual may experience auditory hallucinations, okay? The voices they hear are often unknown voices, which may criticize their life and can often engage them in nonsensical conversation. They may have delusions. They're also part of the mix, and they can vary in each person. Some delusions are kind of benign, such as a friend is in a financial trouble, to even severe things like someone is out to kill them, where they feel a lot of paranoia. So individuals with psychosis are typically put on drugs, which offer a lot of side effects, which the person really doesn't like, and they're often not compliant with their drug therapy because they don't like how they feel on it. They like the high feeling in their mania, and there can be a lot of psychotic episodes similar to remember that American Airlines flight attendant who was off her drugs and she had an episode on a flight? Remember that? It was in the news. Now, I'm not saying flight attendants are psychotic, but she did admit it, she didn't take her medication, and this is what happened to her. Now, in 2011, Medicaid paid $47 million towards antipsychotic and anti-anxiety drugs, and $18 million worth went for drugs going to children and adolescents. So we have a severe problem when we don't have a sound mind here in America. It's a problem. So where do we begin? Well, the prescription mask that people are wearing will not work at getting to the cause of the problem. So perhaps a different approach should be needed. One of my herbal professors had a clinic, and he often said that the problem depressed people have is they have a backlog of toxins in their system. And he described this this way. The colon is kind of the cork in a bottle, and if you don't cleanse it, the wastes from the head to your lowlands can't get out of you, and many diseases come from bad colon function. So he shared one of his cases. He had a 67-year-old male that suffered from chronic depression for about 18 months. Although he didn't use the term flat or blunted effect, he did believe the patient was just sort of a psychotic state because he described him as emotionally dead. So he was a retired public school teacher and a counselor and very intelligent person. And he was diagnosed with clinical depression and was taking three different mind-altering drugs, Prozac, Valium, and benzodiazepine. So this was supposedly to keep him calm and keep him sane. And he didn't want to see any doctors. He didn't want to see any naturopaths. He didn't want to see anybody, but his family insisted he go. So he went to see my herb professor, and he said that he my herb professor said this man had the worst smelling breath that he ever smelled. He couldn't stand it, so he gave him some herbal mouth drops to suck on. He said his colon was so congested with fecal matter that his plumbing was like so backed up, like a toilet would be backed up. So instead of cleaning out the colon, the pipes, most people just plug the air fresheners in instead. See, throw those drugs down your gullet, pretend you're normal, and let's plug in some Febreze. And what is that? That's not no way to deal with this. Americans, they would buy less deodorant and toothpaste and mouthwash and cologne and perfume if they just did their organ cleanses. Seriously. Right. Well, let's look at a reversal. So what happens, what happened to this school teacher? Well, his family made him take the herbs to cleanse his colon, okay? And then he went on to cleanse the other organs, liver, gallbladder, all the way to the blood system. He also changed his diet. He got into some juicing. He went and got a massage to stimulate his nerve endings because you have more nerve endings in your skin than you do in your brain. So when you get a massage, you stimulate your brain, okay? You stimulate. So what he was doing was really what I call a combination therapy, a combination of natural therapies. So he was doing his cleanses. He was doing his nutrition, his juicing, and skin brushing and massage. It was just the whole thing. So according to the family, they made him do the colon cleanse more than once, and they said he would practically lived in the bathroom because he would have 10 bowel movements per day. Goodness, right? Which means that's how much was stored up in there. So because he couldn't, and this gentleman couldn't sit through his psychotherapy appointment because he was having to go to the bathroom every 20 minutes because he was, you know, doing the cleansing. Now, that's not typically what most people experience doing a maintenance colon cleanse, you know. It's gentle and effective. It doesn't give you turbo bowel. But this is kind of an extreme case. And he was hitting it pretty hard so he could get everything out of there. So 6 weeks go by. He goes back to see my herbal professor. And he was off his Valium, his Prozac, all his drugs, and wasn't feeling depressed. So the family helped him get over the depression, get over the toxin removal, do the organ cleanses, get the nutrition going, and get off his drugs and get back to living again. So they didn't even have to use some of the other herbs my professor gave them for depression. You know, to help with mind and mood and sleep. They didn't even have to use that. He was doing so well just because they got all that toxicity out, and he was putting now whole food nutrition in. Yeah, once you get the toxins out, not a good idea to recongest the system with bad foods, okay? So this family did what the doctors couldn't do for their family member in 6 weeks. Reversed his depression totally, clinically gone. And you have that power. Everybody does. Yeah, everybody does. It's all about what do I do and what tools do I need to use? And what do I need to stop doing that made me sick in the first place? It's not rocket science. See, it's just taking control, taking responsibility of the situation. Going to doctors and stuff to get antidepressants is really not taking responsibility. You're hoping the doctor will take responsibility, but they're not. They're just giving you drugs to mask your depression. Now, on this guy's third visit, he drove himself before he couldn't even drive. And he was walking unassisted. His gait had straightened out. Of course, you know, we take those drugs, though. It makes you kind of wobbly, you know. It does. This is why elderly people fall down, break hips a lot of times because the drugs are on. And this guy came out of retirement and went back to work. This is really a very good example of what you can accomplish by cleansing the body of the toxins and putting the nutrition in. Cleanse and nourish, cleanse and nourish. This is what I saw in herb school, and it just hit me. This is like the best kept secret. This is like how you avoid internal medicine disease. Seriously. And everybody has that power right now, today. So I often say the body's most important organ is the bowel, because it's the last stop for all those toxins. And if they start to get backlogged into your system, you're going to have problems in your body's weakest genetic link. So if you don't cleanse your organs, the body's not able to remove the waste, and you're going to have metabolic shutdown. And this guy had a mental metabolic shutdown. Well, let's look at some of the herbs that I like for depression, transitioning. I like St. John's wort. It's great for depression. In the 1980s, researchers did say St. John's wort exhibited potent antidepressant action compared to pharmaceutical drugs. And also, the British Medical Journal said 55% success rate if you use St. John's wort for treating depression. No drug can say that. And a 1999 study, University of Hawaii School of Medicine said St. John's wort, along with some German studies, they confirmed 71% success rate without side effects in helping with depression. Now, the Hawaii study did state St. John's wort was very effective at treating depression as almost comparative to a pharmaceutical tricyclic drug. No side effects, though. Now, the British study recommended the herb should be used, especially if you have maybe seasonal affective disorder. So when the days get shorter in the fall and you kind of get a little gloomy, St. John's wort is very good for that. But they did say don't expect St. John's wort to work miracles overnight. It's not that like that. You have to use it for several weeks, even several months, before you get that saturation point. And actually, in Germany, St. John's wort outsells Prozac 4-1. So that ought to tell you something. The Germans know something there. Another herb I like is valerian root. The American colonist Samuel Thompson said he used valerian root as a nervine herb. It doesn't sedate anybody, but it has an effect to take stress off the central nervous system. Okay. So it doesn't sedate you, and it doesn't cause dependency. Okay. Now, scientists did say valerian contains valopropetrate, a compound that looks like it has sedative properties but doesn't create a sedation. In other words, when you're sedated, you wouldn't be able to operate a motor vehicle or even a cash register, okay? But with valerian, you can do both. So people with sleep problems really like valerian root because they fell asleep faster. Well, it does have nutrients in it that help the neurotransmitters in the brain, so you can get better sleep. So when you compare valerian root to like your sleep drugs like Valium and Halicon, German researchers found valerian root was much milder and a safer option compared to a lot of your sleep drugs that create withdrawal effects and god-awful other things. You can have insomnia worse than when you start. It's called rebound effect. Now, Europeans after World War II also used valerian root to soothe their frazzled nerves after the trauma of arterial bombardments. Herbalists recommend valerian root also for things like headaches, panic attacks, anxiety, spastic colon, that kind of thing. So you have a lot of options for tools to get the job done. If you think the bowel needs cleansing so that you can think better, think clearer. I've heard this over and over again for people over the years. You know, I used to have foggy brain. Now I don't have that anymore. And they did a bowel cleanse. So toxins have its effect, you know, and I see a big connection between the bowel and the brain. And also when you get vaccines with heavy metals, the heavy metals will, after 2 weeks, leave the brain and go to the bowel. Okay. So, there's a connection between the brain and the bowel. So, bowel cleansing, gentle and effective. You can still carry out your normal routine. And it's not going to break the bank. It's just one of those things that you could utilize that God gave us. Herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. So check that out. The Bowel Cleanse is at the powerherbs.com website. The folks at Apothecary Herbs will send you a free product catalog, and you'll have information on that. All the cleanses are listed in there in the order in which you should do them for safety and success. You never want to do a whole body cleanse. Not recommended. It's too much toxins trying to rush out of the system, and the bowel's not open. Those toxins will back up, and then you'll feel worse. So always do your cleansing in the order which you should do them. And so you want to work with your system, not against the tide. You know, it's not recommended to, like, start out and do a liver cleanse or a blood cleanse right off the bat. You gotta do the bowel cleanse first. Because all those toxins out of the blood and all those toxins out of the liver, they're going to wind up in the bowel so they can leave your body. And if the bowel's all backed up, it's not going to happen that way. So you don't want to feel sick while you're cleansing. And that's what will happen if toxins are forced to be reabsorbed. So thepowerherbs.com, check out the bowel cleanser. The kit is enough for two people. Or if you're not going to share it, you'll have another cleanse you can do within about 6 months as a maintenance, which is recommended. So thepowerherbs.com, give them a call. Or visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. Number is 866-229-3663. And this is a perfect time. If you've never tried herbs, you've never tried cleansing, and you've been thinking about it, they have this 20% off on orders of $50 or more now through the 21st. So you can get what you need, check it out, and save money at the same time. They always have a money-back guarantee, so nothing to worry about there. And professional strength, high-potency, organic, whole food product line, and nothing like it in the world. It's a game-changer. You won't find those in stores. No, no, no. So 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless, and you have that power. Take it back. Just go and grab it and take it back and be well out there. Sign up for the newsletters, too. If you have email, you can sign up for free at thepowerherbs.com under Books and Newsletters tab. HealthQuest newsletter goes out on Friday, so if you want to sign up and get one, now's the time. And they're absolutely free. Lots of health information in there. Well, I'm out of time, and the information presented is not intended to prevent or cure disease, so seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.